Benjamin Puckett in Tequila. Thank you for listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He wins the Staycation Comfort giveaway from Reliable Heating and Air. We got more of those to give away, so stay tuned. Also want to remind you before we get to Grant and talk some Braves here, we are your home of comprehensive World Cup coverage, guys. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game every night from now through the end of the tournament. Join Jason Longshore for special editions of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Jason will be covering all of the major storylines with previews and analysis of every match all the way through the final on July 19th. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer and by Michelob Ultra, official beer sponsor of FIFA World Cup 26. That's Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore every night from now through July 19th on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. With that, we welcome in Grant McCauley, our Braves insider, and he covers MLB for us. And Grant, Mike was just asking me a question about socks, so ask Grant, because I need answers.
Right, Grant, I'm watching the ball game on Braves Vision last night, and again, the producers always do an amazing job. The timing was impeccable. They got Wiley Ballard explaining these individual toe socks that apparently Matt Olson wears because he wants to, I guess, try to alleviate the toe turf type injury, and no sooner than he basically golfs at a 49% degree launch angle home run. But so how long has he been wearing these funky socks?
I have not done any investigative reporting on anyone's socks as of yet, so that was a new one by me. That's an exclusive for Braves Vision, so tip of the cap to them. But whatever works, because it's a long season, and you're going to have all kinds of different aches and pains and things that creep up on you. So if you can find a little something that makes you more comfortable, I've not done the toe socks, but hey, if that works for him, who am I to knock it?
Yeah, well, look, it's working for him because he leads all first basemen in home runs. He leads OPS, and the 36 extra base hits leads all MLB players. We're talking about Matt Olson. So how do you define what Matt Olson has been to this team this season, Grant?
I mean, if you're looking at a guy who's making a great case to be an MVP in the National League, not just for the Braves, Matt Olson's putting that case together. He has done pretty much everything that you would ask for him in the ideal role if you're scripting it together. He's putting together, as you mentioned, all the extra base hits. He's on pace for 44 home runs, 125 RBI nearly, 115 runs scored. All of those are things that you'd love to see a first baseman that can fill up the stat sheet like that. And he's OPSing north of 900. And apparently, he can hit a 49-degree launch angle home run last night. Mike, you mentioned that. StatCast has been around since 2015. Only three other home runs, over-the-fence home runs, have had a higher launch angle than Matt Olson's last night. So there have been a lot of home runs hit in baseball over the last decade plus. Matt Olson had one of the most unique ones you'll see. But as far as his impact on the club, I think it's the steady, everyday, workmanlike approach of Matt Olson, not to mention the impact that that bat can make. And it certainly was felt again last night.
We talked yesterday about Bryce Elder and some of the things that happened in the loss to Boston wasn't his fault, but it was five earned runs, three more earned runs yesterday. Is he got to tweak a little bit? Is he pitching to too much contact?
I don't think so. I felt like last night, and Matt Olson's home run was a good example of it because there were some other StatCast data where I think that his home run ball may have been pushed 20-plus feet to get over the wall by the wind. And that was the same thing for the home run, the two-run homer that he gave up. It's usually this is not a park, and Walt Weiss talked about this after the game yesterday, where you think about the wind factor. This is not Wrigley Field. It's not one of those places. But there was a jet stream going out to right field yesterday. So Bryce is going to pitch to contact a little bit more. I think he misses enough bats. But as you go through the league, time and time again, more so than ever now, there's plenty of tape. Everybody's putting together their best plan. The Braves are doing it for who they're facing. So Bryce Elder and whoever's catching, and it's this case Sandy Leon last night, you've got to try to stay one step ahead and do some adjustments. And I asked Bryce, having had the experience of going through a long season and starting every fifth day, what have you taken from that, and has that helped you this year with some of the adjustments that you're making start to start? Just the overall experience factor. And he said that it has. Having Sandy behind the plate, I think, was also a big help for him. But he also revealed that last night was the first night in his career he felt like he just did not have his sinker. It just was not working for him. And that's a weird pitch to take out of his mix and then ask him to go through a major league lineup. So I felt like it was kind of one of those grittier performances that might just fly under the radar a little bit as far as Bryce Elder is concerned. It wasn't his easiest night, but it was a night in which he got the Braves into the seventh inning and helped them win a close game.
Hey, real quick, I know we don't talk a lot about it because it's one of those things, the consecutive game streak. Back to Matt Olson just real quick. I think he's at 843 or somewhere around there, Grant. But he's on pace to pass Stan Musial, which is a big deal. If he, you know, continues to play every day, which we think he is. I just feel like it's a big milestone, but we don't talk a lot about it. I mean, the Cal Ripken thing's out there, obviously Lou Gehrig Day yesterday. But there are people who can't make it to work 4 days in a week in a row. And this guy, we're talking about 843 consecutive games. I think it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, I think it's a big deal. And it's something that, you know, maybe in today's game is not looked upon quite the same because, A, nobody's doing it. So now it's maybe even a bit more unique than it would have been before. But there are not too many guys that have 800-plus consecutive games, which if you just do the quick math on that, that's five straight years of not missing any work. To get over 1,000 would be a very impressive milestone for Matt. And I've asked him about, you know, what it means to him. And he said, look, I come to the park and I expect to play. I want to play. He's like, I never talked to Brian Snitker about it. It just worked itself out every single day. And the same thing is true with Walt Weiss. And he's played through some aches and pains and some different things that everybody does over the course of a season. But he believes that, like, his job is to be out there manning first base and trying to help his team win. So again, it's that workmanlike approach. It's not loud, it's not flashy, he's not looking for all the accolades, he's not the loudest voice in the room, but his bat carries significant weight, makes plenty of noise for him, and his overall, I think, you know, place on this team is well known and well regarded as being just one of those true pros and a guy that the Braves are very, very happy to have.
Grant, I know we spoke yesterday about Jorge Mateo and the job he's been doing and contributing, you know, every night. I didn't realize, you know, I know you know this because you're the best baseball man in town, but at one point he was above Aaron Judge in the Yankees organization as the top prospect. So is it now all coming together for him here?
That's an interesting question, and I actually asked Walt Weiss about Jorge and this first couple of months and what he's shown him, and he said, well, to be honest with you, when we were sitting down looking to make the roster, Mateo was always the guy that I'd had my eye on, and he has power, he has speed, and sometimes guys with those kind of tools, you don't know when they put it all together, but he had just mentioned that, hey, this is a guy that I like, and then sure enough, who ended up in Braves camp? Who ends up on the opening day roster? Who is now the beneficiary of some at-bats? Because, you know, it's a balancing act, and Weiss, you know, talked about that as well, where, you know, there's a lot of baseball left to be played, as we've talked about the last couple of weeks. Ha-Seong Kim has a role to play on this team, but right now, there's maybe a better opportunity for Jorge Mateo to take advantage of how well he's playing and leverage that into some playing time. And I think he's kind of made the most of it. But you never know with these toolsy type players, even if they've had some looks in the big leagues before, when something might just click for them and they might get into the right hitting environment or a number of other factors, and they just figure out a way to do a little bit more than they've done in the past. And Mateo, Walt said, hey, I didn't know a ton about him, but every time I saw him, I thought there's something there. And sure enough, he ended up in Braves camp and has ended up being a guy that could help this club out and has given them some depth with elite speed off the bench. If nothing else, you feel like, hey, we get the tying run on or the go-ahead run on late. We can put this guy out there. He can steal us a base, and we might win a baseball game.
It's true. Grant McCauley, pitching matchup today is Grant Holmes. Toronto sending out Patrick Corbin. I think Toronto's underachieving right now with all the money they've spent. And, you know, again, this is ebbs and flows. But would you agree with that first and foremost? And then let's talk about Grant Holmes with Toronto underachieving.
Yeah, definitely with Toronto. I mean, they were a team that, quite frankly, were a good lead from third base by Kiner Falefa away from winning the World Series. So there's that little factoid that you can leave out on the table, which is probably going to be something Blue Jays fans have to come to terms with. But if I can come to terms with Ed Sprague, then they could deal with that. So I just kind of look at this as a club that there's stranger things have happened than a team kind of, you know, just floating along around 500 for the first couple of months and figuring things out. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is sitting on three home runs. He has not made an impact yet this year. Yeah, that's not going to be where he is when the year's over if he's healthy. He's going to make a bigger impact. They've had some injuries they've had to deal with. Their pitching has been a little bit wonky. Their bullpen mix has also been a little bit of a problem. So there's something to be said for catching teams at the right time. And for the Braves, I would say if you have to play a Toronto Blue Jays club that was in the World Series last year, what they're currently comprised and what they're dealing with is a pretty good time for him. So hopefully for Grant Holmes, that gives him the opportunity to work through this lineup a couple of times, put the Braves in a good position bullpen-wise. They didn't have to go through a lot of their arms yesterday thanks to Bryce Elder getting into the seventh. And you can hopefully pile up some runs. Patrick Corbin has been knocked around by the Braves for years. He was with the Nationals, and quite frankly, one of the worst starting pitchers in Major League Baseball the last 4 or 5 years. He's been a little bit better this year, but I think the Braves are pretty familiar with him, so we'll see how they choose to attack him.
Yeah, when you look, I'm looking at the overall numbers. It's just crazy. Is how many teams have got more home runs than Toronto, man. That's just nuts.
Yeah, and you wouldn't expect it.
And the Braves obviously are right up there behind the Yankees with 98. Yeah, the other thing, and Carl, we were joking around about it. I mean, I'm not complaining about Raisel Iglesias. It just last night was a little off-putting, but he got through it.
Yeah, and he's done that pretty much all year. I mean, he's been one of the more dependable closers you're going to find, but every once in a while, you know, a ball has eyes or you give up a couple of hits. And in a one-run game, that's really all it takes to get that rally going. But Raisel, I think, is just somebody who you know, even when he's dealing with that kind of stuff, if he's right, you feel like he can get out of it. And last night, he was able to pretty quickly put that rally down, and the next thing you know, it was a win in the books for the Braves and a chance to win another series today.
All right, man. Great stuff as always. Let's just keep rolling, man. I mean, that's been the key. And last night, look, I like fun, entertaining games that come down to the end. But I just always feel like the way this team has responded this season, it's going to be us. I know we're going to lose a few of those, but it feels that way, right? At the end of these games, you're like, oh, we're going to finish this thing.
Hey, 20 come from behind wins of their 41 wins this year, so they've been trailing throughout the course of this year and found a way to overcome it. So even when you're down, you feel like this is a club that can put it together and figure it out. So hopefully they can have the come from behind wins when they need to, but we'll take a nice easy one too.
No doubt. All right, Grant, thanks so much, man. Enjoy the game.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Grant McCauley. Real quick, he was talking about them coming together as far as Toronto. We forget Max Scherzer is on his way back.
Right.
Dylan Cease is on his way back. Like, they have some injuries that have impacted them, but the home run, like, guys are not living up to their contract.
No, man. As we said, the Braves have got 98 home runs. You know, that's, or check that, 85 home runs. Yankees have 87. I was looking at doubles. Doubles are nice, too. But when it comes to home runs, yeah, the Toronto lack of power right now, just 57 home runs for the Blue Jays. And, you know, it was also in that category. It's kind of terrible. Good and terrible. The Mets. They're not hitting home runs either.
Good and terrible.
Yeah.
They are terrible.
Let's see. And the Mets, yeah, that's another disaster. 61 home runs. That's all they got.
Are we about to embark on one of the most anticipated finals in more than a decade? Wait until you hear what Brian Geltzeiler had to say.
I know. I was going to say yes.
It's coming up.